Where we talk trash about the things people love to hate and hate to love, and we're your hosts, Shelby and Matt. Wow, you should be a folio.
That was me eating shrimp, if nobody figured that out.
I thought that was a boob bursting out of your eyeball.
Oh, well, and maybe it was. Since this is an audio podcast, you cannot see me. You don't know what I look like, which version of the substance I am.
Yeah. No, I think you would be the old Demi Moore, and I would be the Margaret Qualley, obviously.
You're older than me by a significant chunk of time.
That is so rude. I literally don't even know how old you are. Okay, so like
younger
the fact
than
that
you.
You're tracking mine is frankly what this movie is about. Okay, it's just unfair how obsessed you are with my age, okay?
There have been a lot of test groups that have said, Shelby, too old,
not hot enough
to be on the podcast. We got to replace her.
No.
We've got to get a Victoria's Secret model in here. Stat.
I can't lose this. No.
Well,
yeah, the substance. We're here. We're doing it. I've put this off since its premiere date.
Which was
in
September
June.
20th.
September? Oh, okay.
It originally came out in Cannes May, so it has been floating around since then, but I saw it in August, I believe. So how well do I remember it? We shall see.
Well, and then it's one of those movies that's pretty straightforward, let's say. So I feel like if you remember one scene, you remember the movie. It sets itself up pretty quick and then does nothing else quick throughout the runtime. I don't know. Listen, I recognize my bias. I didn't think I'd like this movie, and I did not like this movie. Do I think it's like dumb that it was nominated for so many awards? Yeah. I do in some ways, but I'm also glad that it's working for some people. You know, like I'm willing to acknowledge that this can be an interesting vehicle for discussion. I found it to be a sledgehammer with absolutely, I don't know, like no real meat to it aside from the shellfish. And I was kind of just irritated by every single choice made in it, but that's just me.
Okay, interesting.
The end. Yeah. We can wrap this up. No, but I mean, I can see why it's, you know, it's a big vehicle. It's Demi Moore's sort of comeback, or she's finally getting recognized for her acting. She's been nominated for all sorts of awards at this point. Margaret Qualley is beloved in it. And yeah, it's very stylistic. It's directed by a woman, directed by a middle-aged woman, very much about beauty standards and ageism and the male gaze and the cultural effect of the toxicity around women's bodies. And yeah. It's now streaming on Mubi.
Have you seen Revenge, her first film? I'm like, I did not see this.
No, is that the one where they're like, she's like,
it's some sort
in
of
the
action
middle of nowhere?
Movie? Yeah,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, I think she's done like a couple of these sort of revenge fantasy or sort of body horror type films. This is obviously the most grotesque that's made its way over here. I don't know. I'm curious because I looked at your Letterboxd review and I think you gave it like 3 stars or maybe 4 stars. You hand those stars out like candy though. So I'm curious, one, what was your original like, oh, I like this, or like your original reaction versus how you feel now, like into award season and sort of the discourse that's built around this film. Because you've sat with it longer.
Yes, I gave it a 3 stars. I just looked that up. So this came out in Cannes. I wasn't in Cannes. I heard lots of good things about it, but also heard that, you know, it was crazy and body horror and whatever. I do love a horror movie. However, body horror is not my favorite genre. I like a slasher more than this, or, you know, just sort of like elevated horror kind of stuff. Yeah, I didn't necessarily love this when I saw it. I felt like tonally it didn't really make sense to me.
Yeah.
I felt like the first half was not necessarily grounded, but like felt like it was giving a more, I don't know, like sort of,
it's like magical realism versus fully surrealist.
Right. Yeah. And then the last third of the movie just goes like off the rails in a way that I felt like I think undermines whatever they were trying to say at the beginning, rather than sort of coming to a more like realistic or interesting end. It's just like so bonkers that I think you end up leaving the theaters being like, oh, remember when the person like was spraying blood all over the place and there was this monster and blah, blah, blah. And I feel like when I think about the movie, I think about that more than I think about the like, oh, like, isn't it difficult to be a woman aging? You know, it's like, that's not the first sort of thing that pops back into my mind. So I don't know. And also it is long. It's like 2 hours and 20 minutes. And I feel like for a movie that's basically a parable that doesn't have a ton of like character development, really.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like the Demi Moore.
It's a long 2 hours, 20.
Yeah. Like Demi Moore's is a great actress in this, and I think her character has some sort of like interesting highs and lows as you go, but like Dennis Quaid is a stock villain. Margaret Qualley is
literally named Harvey.
Like Margaret Qualley is like gives a fun performance, but she's like not a real human, you know. It's like she's like an alien, like, who was just birthed and sort of you know showed up. So I didn't feel like it had the like humanity, I guess, that I wanted. However, I will say, and when we sort of talked about this when we talked about the Oscar nominations, and several people who have been former guests on this show reached out to me and were like, Shelby is crazy for not thinking that these nominations are interesting, because this is like a sort of wonky year of nominations. So do I want The Substance to win Best Picture? No. Am I glad that The Substance is in the awards race? Yes, because I do think that it's good to have movies that are of a very wide breadth. And I think having something like The Substance do so well during an award season will open things up for something like a Hereditary or Midsommar or The Witch or like those kind of movies in the future that I think probably deserved this but didn't get it. So I like The Substance. I like respect The Substance. I don't really ever need to watch The Substance again. It is not a movie that I like am particularly emotionally connected to, and I do think in this year's awards race there's a lot of other movies that I do feel more connected to. Like I don't necessarily begrudge Demi Moore an Oscar. It seems like she's probably gonna win, but you know, if Mikey Madison beat her, I would, you know, be thrilled. So I don't know. I liked it fine. It wasn't, but I didn't necessarily have like sort of systemic issues with it, which it seems like maybe you do.
Well, yeah, I think it's like, I knew it would be pretty, you know, straightforward. It's very simple in its messaging. It's literally just like, it sucks to be a woman and look at what we put our bodies through just to chase beauty standards that are not realistic.
Yes.
And so it's like, yeah, that's literally one sentence, we're done. Thank you. Let's move on to chapter 2 of feminism in America. Like, and I know that, you know, there's something to be said about how determined the director was to force us to just sit in that message for 2 hours and like not leave any room for interpretation, because it's like, you literally cannot walk away from this with anything else. Like, if you're looking for a message, it's that. It's there. It's repeated over and over and over again with no real nuance. And it's shrouded in a very simplistic, allegorical, sort of surrealist world. So there really is absolutely no room to go. And I can respect that as an intention. Like, it's like, yeah, okay. Like, no, nothing to discuss here. No arguments to be made. No cases to study. Like, this is not going to divide English majors across, like, what the symbolism is. It's very, very, very obvious. And I found that tiresome and honestly a little bit rude to the audience to just, like, treat us so, like, we're just dumb. Like, we're just ignorant and we can't catch on fast enough. Because it wasn't just, like, it wasn't just, like, the setup. It wasn't just the, you know, okay, Demi is on the outs. She loses her one gig she had. She feels, like, alone in the world. She has absolutely nothing. Literally no family, no friends, no purpose outside of being a beautiful woman on TV. So when she loses that, she gives in to this offer to take the substance and birth another creature out of her who will live this deliciously young, youthful, desirable life she so misses. And then it becomes a battle of will between these two people who are supposedly constantly reminded that they are one, even though they're not. And I think that's interesting that there's this man who's constantly telling them, like, no, you are one, trust the process, or don't. Like, I think the idea of the substance is interesting. I think the movie gives up on being interested in that pretty quick because it just becomes this battle of gory bodies getting more and more screwed up as they screw each other over. But I do feel like there was so much stuff in it that just was only there to serve as a sledgehammer against our heads. Like visual callbacks. There's a lot of recycled, like, flashbacks to reiterate why something matters in that moment. Like, for instance, there's this whole sequence where she is getting the next batch of the substance, goes to a diner, and she sees an old man who's looking at her, and you're like, oh, I bet that's another guy who's taken the substance. And then they show his hand, and he has the birthmark of the person who first introduced her to the substance. And it flashes back to that scene where you see the birthmark on the guy who introduced her to the substance. And then you see him drop his card for how he gets the substance. So she knows that he's has a locker getting the substance. And then it shows the back scar of where his substance, like, birthed a new human. And it's like, that's five different callbacks to make the same point that was pretty obvious right away. And I don't know if I can say that's good filmmaking just because it's, like, part of the style of it. Like, I don't know. It felt disrespectful to the audience to not allow us, like, some trust in the process.
I don't know how I sort of feel about movies that present problems that the general population knows are problems without presenting some sort of solution to them. Like, I think this movie doesn't really have a lot of nuance. It's not set in the real world. It is not, the characters aren't real people. I mean, obviously, like, not in that they're characters in movies, but just, like, that they don't feel like that they're operating like normal people would. And, like, do we know that there are unrealistic beauty standards set for women? Like, yes, 100%. And I feel like it's not the same in the gay community, but, like, there is definitely a level of, like, beauty standard that is there that I think straight guys don't have to deal with. So I, like, get it. And I also think that, you know, just in general, aging is something that since the beginning of time we've been dealing with of, like, okay, you only have so much period. You only have so much time as, like, a youthful person, and then you have to live the rest of your life not being youthful, and there's no way to go back to that. And you're constantly seeing other people who are youthful, and you in some ways have to reconcile with the fact that, like, the best years of your life are gone in some capacity. And how do you determine that? Or, like, is it societal that we think that youth is good? Like, should we actually be thinking that, like, old people are beautiful? And, like, I don't know. I think there's a lot of interesting things in there with, like, aging and our bodies and
that.
But I don't think it really ever sort of steers off the path into asking any of those questions or giving us any of those solutions. It's just like, isn't it terrible that women have to go through having men judge them based on their appearance? And it's like, yes, but I feel like we have registered that that's a bad thing for quite some time now. And I don't think that there's a lot of pushback to that, where there's a lot of people going, oh, you know what I think is a really good idea is like that we like only have these super young women in movies. Like, I think the issue is that just as a society, we are all invested in like hot young people.
Yeah.
And so you can say as much as you want, like, well, we should prioritize like aging or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's like aging well usually just looks like being able to look young for as long as possible. It doesn't. And even people who quote unquote age. It's like you're Demi Moore, who's obviously had a lot of work done, or like you're somebody who is, oh, I have gray hair, but it's like, I'm still hot with gray hair. It's not like, oh, I'm old and craggy and have gray hair. And that's what we're supposed to be going after. I think that like, a movie that, I saw this around the same time that I saw Thelma, and I just remember comparing the two in my mind of like, I think Thelma is such an interesting movie about aging and really grapples with so many of the things that come along with that. Like, obviously the bodily stuff, but like feeling obsolete, like having your mind sort of go, like not being as quick as you used to be, but still having that desire to be in that situation. And I think The Substance just never quite gets to a level of nuance or interestingness in its take, and also doesn't give you a solution. It's like you get to the end of the movie and what, like, what is the takeaway from it? Like, what, like, how
is literally just like, wow, aren't these women hideous? Like, it, like, that's what's interesting, honestly, is that it circles around like the sexual objectification of Margaret Qualley, right? Like, there's literally so many crotch shots, so many butt shots, so many boob shots of Margaret Qualley and her body. And it's sort of like, it, I think it is intended to like make you uncomfortable with like how fascinated the camera is with her body. And it's like really driving home, like, oh, the objectification is bad. And like, it, it doesn't, it robs it. I don't know. But then at the same time, you're like, well, I'm watching a movie where they're just focusing on her crotch. So it's like, you would hope that eventually at the end, they'd come to something more pressing to say than just, yeah, yikes, huh? Like, you should really just love your body so this doesn't happen to you. You'll get more and more hideous if you care about these sort of things. But then on top of that, yeah, like working in this like allegorical landscape, it doesn't make a hard stance against beauty standards in media, against beauty standards in social media, against beauty standards in film. Like, it's too general without actually making any interesting target.
And the point sort of at the end is like, oh, the hotter person is hotter, and we do, and like that is the best thing. But if you try too many of these procedures, then you're going to end up looking like a monster. So it's like the takeaway is almost, oh, just like pick your procedures wisely. Like, it's not, you know what I mean? It's sort of like, like Demi Moore should have sort of been happy with what she got, and maybe she should have just had a little Botox, but instead she went overboard and now she looks like a monster, which I think is a. Which is sort of like,
you think it's a literal message about like about the beauty industry.
I mean, I don't
cosmetic.
Think that's what she interpreted it to be.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think that that is sort of a takeaway. You spend this whole movie watching Margaret Qualley be gorgeous, and you watch Demi Moore, who is a very attractive person at the beginning, be so obsessed with beauty that she ends up doing all of these things and ends up in a monster, which I think is a very common trope. Among people getting plastic surgery and stuff of like, okay, instead of being 50 and saying, oh, I'm going to do the thing that makes me look 45, you're 50 and you say, oh, I want to do the thing that makes me look 25. And it's like, well, then you just end up looking crazy. So maybe you should sort of be happy with like what you have.
Yeah, like, stop while you're ahead.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. I don't think that's what she means the takeaway to be, but it's kind of like when you're clawing around for a takeaway, that sort of is what the takeaway is.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because I think this movie could have been interesting if it was about menopause. Like, if it was a horror film about perimenopause, menopause, like how biologically men lose interest in women over a certain age. Like, if she'd focused in, zeroed in on a specific element, like a personal element of, like, how getting old ruins your place in society. But sandwiching this into the weirdness of this body horror around Margaret Qualley's Sue character having it so easy breezy, it becomes more like, okay, yeah, so like beauty, but also like youth, and also like things we choose and not finding value in our lives. Like, I don't know. It just became kind of like hard to follow while also regurgitating the same thought for 2 hours straight and punctuated by strange body horror that doesn't like at one point, Margaret Qualley pulls a chicken wing out of her belly button. And it's never really
explained. Who among us haven't?
Yeah. It's just like it happens once, never again. And then yeah, it's just kind of implodes on itself under investigation. And I don't mean that in the sense of like cinema sense, like, oh, how does Sue get paid for this job if she doesn't have a social security number? Like, I can acknowledge that this is a surrealist like fantasy where she's on something called The Show and they're talking about the New Year's Eve party. Like, it's like, it's very general. It's very much just stylized. It's not meant to be literal. Like, no one is smelling a rotting body in this closet. Like, you know, like, it's not, I don't care that it's zany and quirky and allegorical, but I do feel like just insulted by how simple it is, like in its visuals, like at the very end, when she's barely a functioning like human, this disgusting, just crippled, yucky old woman, the one thing she does is drag out her 50-pound, 10 by 10 foot portrait of her younger self. And it's like, okay, yeah, we get it. Like, I felt disrespected watching it. It just felt so heavy-handed, and for what? Like, intro to feminism 101 level stuff. Like, I know you hate Barbie, but this is how I felt. Like, you felt watching Barbie is how I felt watching this. And I think Barbie, in its single scene at the bus stop where she tells the old woman you're beautiful, does more for beauty standard conversations than this movie does in its full 2 hour runtime.
Well, yeah, my issue with Barbie was never the beauty standards thing. It was the corporate capitalism going on. But I do wonder a little bit how the like international aspect of this movie fares. Like, I do feel like people in Europe are sort of notoriously not as woke. And so I'm like, maybe this is something that's feels fresher over there than it does here.
Because I think I had seen a few like Reddit conversations from like French people who were like, yeah, this film isn't her usual style, because French films are notoriously talky and this movie is not talky at all. And French and European films are very much like nudity doesn't matter. Like, it's like whatever. So they were confused by the sort of clutching of the pearls and when and where nudity was appropriate, you know, because at the very end, a boob pops out of her literal eyeball hole and a mother covers her daughter's eyes, even though she'd just been watching a burlesque show of like titties everywhere. So, I mean, yeah, I don't know. It feels like this is a very Americanized movie. And I'm not sure why, because it's not like she takes a very specific swing at Hollywood. Like, it's like, yes, sort of Hollywood adjacent, because this is an actress and, you know, she's fallen on hard times or whatever, but it's not a Hollywood we recognize. And it's not really like she doesn't, I don't know. It was just kind of, it was boring to me, even with the gore. And I think the gore is the only thing that saved it from people recognizing this is a badly written film and a half-baked idea, and it falls apart under any sort of examination.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that on like a craft standpoint, it's very well put together. Like, I think that the like special effects and the body horror stuff is really cool. But yeah, as far as like the script goes, I don't necessarily think it's super groundbreaking, and did not love it in the same way that I think a lot of people did. I'm interested to see how it does at the Oscars, just because like it's sort of shocking that it has done as well as it can. Well, okay, I guess I'll say this. I think part of the reason why it has done so well, and why it has like in theaters but then also in the awards conversation, one is because Demi Moore I think does give a really good performance in it, but two, I think that it's so memeable. Like, there's so many scenes in the movie that have become memes. There's like the substance in and of itself is sort of a meme. There's like the yellow jacket, there's all of the Sue things, there's the Dennis Quaid with the shrimp, there's the dragging the body down the hallway, there's just so many there's so many memes that I feel like the images that this movie evokes are really, really strong and instantly recognizable. And so I think that it, from like a crafts perspective and from like a directing perspective, I guess to a certain degree, it is really well done. Like, it's just so sticky in that regard. And I think the fact that it was so sticky and became so many memes and then did so well at the box office then made it into a hit that the Academy like had to take more notice of. So I think that there are certain aspects like of the visual language of it that make it interesting. I really think that the weak spot is the script. I mean, which is a big part of the movie and then does sort of make it like, okay, yeah, maybe this isn't the best thing ever. But I think that as far as it goes, I don't hate it in the same way that I have other things. But I think also part of that's just because I'm excited to see a horror movie in the race a little bit. And it also doesn't seem to be a threat to really win that much stuff. Like, I think it'll probably win hair and makeup. Demi Moore might win. But I'm sort of like, both of those things I think are very valid. I don't think this is getting Best Picture, so.
Yeah. I mean, I think it is like, it's just kind of strange to me. Like, and I think this circles back to why I think the Oscars are boring. It's because I think it's not that the nominations are like the dullest movies made this year. Like, I can acknowledge that they're playing with genres more than they have. But I do feel like this was an obvious contender just because it's an easy win for like getting a woman on the female director on the list. Like, it was not a challenge. Like, it's just the lowest hanging fruit of the options they need to get their quota or whatever. And that's a cynical approach. But I do just feel like this movie is small. Like, it's, yeah, it's doing a lot of things, and it's doing a lot of things technically well, but it's also like very, very thinly drawn, and not just in its metaphor, but like, I don't know if you remember like how tonally different like the last half is to the first, where it's like they suddenly have superpowers. The rules established in the first half of like one passes out when the other one's awake, they're both the same person. Like, they just like fall apart as soon as she wants to get to the gory bits. And so at a certain point, it's like, oh, she's going to destroy her, she's going to kill her, and then changes her mind. And so then they both wake up and they have this like Marvel level fist fight that ends with Margaret Qualley like kicking her to death and literally being able to like throw her across the room and all of this stuff that's sort of like, why is this happening? Like, what is this? Not that I need logic in the surrealist expanse, but if you've spent half of your movie setting up this parameter, you can't just flip it halfway through to get your body gore count up. Like, it felt lazy in a lot of ways. And that's true of the big finale, where she trundles her way back to the stage as a sort of three-headed monster and blows up and then crawls her way to her star to finally find peace looking up at the galaxies. And I was just kind of like, I don't think this is a well-crafted film in the sense of being a story that feels fully fleshed out.
Yeah, I mean, I do sort of wonder about the question, like the cynical question you brought up of like, is this movie doing well because it's the only movie directed by a woman? This year's race notoriously had like very few female contenders in the best director category. I think just sort of by, you know, accident of these release schedules the last couple of years. I mean, one, there's just like not nearly enough films directed by women, but it's like the, you know, five or six female directors who would be in this conversation all just didn't happen to not have movies this year. So it was really her and then Payal Kapadia who did the All We Imagine Is Light. And both of those are international directors that they sort of, you know, propped up, I think. I mean, I really, All We Imagine Is Light, I think, is an incredible movie. And I love that. And I think it's really well directed. And I would have much rather have that get a spot in this race. But I think that the fact that the Academy was able to spot so early on that there wasn't a strong female candidate for Best Director allowed this movie, I think, to sort of position itself in that regard of like, like, you guys should be taking more, paying more attention to this because of the female director and also because it's, you know, like about such a feminine topic.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I'm excited. Like, I'm glad that it was nominated for things, but it is not my favorite. And also I feel like just the fact like that we're only a half hour in and we're sort of, or I'm at least sort of struggling with things to discuss about this movie really speaks to the fact that there's not that much going on in it because it's kind of like, the plot isn't that, like, there's not that much plot for it being an 2 hours and 20 minute long movie. And it's mostly just like vibes and visuals and, you know, these extended sort of horror scenes. And there's only so many times I can watch somebody like slice open their back, have their pupil, you know, separate,
stare at a billboard. Yeah. Like, yeah, it's just, it's pretty heavy.
Also, so much of the time is spent in the house. Okay, wait, there's one thing that I want to talk about. I do think that this, the best scene in the movie that they really hasn't been getting very much attention is the scene where the guy asks her out to dinner and she like gets ready to go and then sort of has a meltdown and decides not to go afterwards. And I thought that was interesting, one, just from like a social anxiety sort of perspective and how, and just like, when you're isolated and when you're overthinking things, like, you can sort of work yourself up into these patterns of thought that are so terrible for you that really have nothing to do with reality. And I think that, you know, in some regards had to do with the beauty standards of the movie, but in some regards just had to do with people in general. Like, I have friends who are, you know, like, have anxiety around social situations. And I feel like sometimes I'll be talking to them about why they didn't do something or go to something. And it's like, oh yeah, you spent like 3 days alone in your apartment and like thought yourself into these weird spirals where then you were like, well, I can't go to this because of X, Y, and Z. And it's like, nobody else was thinking that. That was a completely like off the wall sort of thing that you descended into just based on isolation. And if you had talked to one person for 2 seconds, you would have sort of snapped yourself out of it. And I thought that it was interesting kind of watching that happen in real life in this movie, where it's like, she's sort of excited to go on this date with this very seemingly like lovely man. And then over the course of an evening kind of like, works herself up into thinking like, no, I like can't go. I'm not attractive enough to go. Like, he doesn't want to see me, blah, 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 blah.
So well, I think it is interesting because it's like all about validation, because the thing that the director harks back to is his line where he says, you're the prettiest girl in the world.
Right.
And like, so that's what makes her decide to like call him up again. And because she needs that validation after becoming so hideous with her wrinkly finger. And so, yeah, it is interesting how so much of her worth is this external, and it is visualized by the external photos that are on and off of the hallway, and she needs that constantly shadowing her. But yeah, I mean, it's that's the thing, is like,
if I pull back and I want to sit down and analyze a film, I can pull out some interesting things. Like I found it fascinating that there's really only men interacting with these two women. Like it mm-hmm. literally does not pass the Bechdel test because they never talk to each other and they never talk about anything except how men view them. And I find that fascinating that the substance like ruler is a man. The only other person she sees who's on the substance is a man. Obviously the film and, you know, the producer or whatever is man, blah, 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 men. The only women around, like all the cameramen are men. And they like really hype in how masculine these spaces that are supposedly feminine are. And I like appreciate that. But I do think she resists actually exploring that in an interesting or groundbreaking way. Like she doesn't do anything with that piece. She just puts it there. And I feel like there could have been something done to play with that a little bit more. But by the end of the movie, you're so grossed out and focused on the physical disgust you feel over these women literally exploding that you forget all those pieces about like, oh yeah, why is the substance like what is that dude's job? Like, why is he lying? Because it's literally not how he describes it. Like, and also why is it so, like, I can't get in the weeds here because I know it's just not meant to be logical, but it is the worst packaging. There's no explanation. I would have gotten that first shot and done it wrong. It's just like very confusing, and they just trust this thinly drawn explanation by these very weird mythic men that she encounters vaguely, sometimes only over the phone, and she follows through with it. And I think that is an interesting premise. Like, are the women who just take everything men say seriously, or like just trust men and don't question it further, or, you know, like there's something there that's interesting, but it just doesn't stick. It doesn't like go anywhere. It's just too it's too like thinly drawn to really feel like you're getting any meat off of it.
Oh, 100%. The fact that she agrees to do this and yet then just like injects herself, like even the equipment that they send her is so like medieval in its like the way that it's used. Like, I can't imagine getting that and being like, oh yeah, like I'm so desperate that I'm gonna give this a go based on like a phone call that I had and somebody at the, like a hairstylist at the office or whatever who gave me this weird card. Yeah, so and again, it is so much a fable that you can't really take that kind of stuff into consideration. Yeah. But then it feels like the message is watered down because it's not based mm-hmm. in reality. It's like, give us a story about somebody who's actually aging, who actually, like, not the same, but I do think Hacks does a good job of somewhat similar, where it's somebody who is past their prime and has this, you know, job that she's fired from. And then she has to figure out like, okay, what does my life look like after this? Like, do I just sort of give up and roll over and rest on my laurels? Do I try to start something new when I'm this far along and I can't rely on being hot anymore? Like, how do I sort of go through society? Like, what does that path look like for me in this sort of uncharted territory where I'm just sort of expected to roll over and die? But I think because that is set in the real world, like, and it's Hacks, so it's a comedy, it's like obviously not realistic in the same way, but because it feels like the mechanisms are true, the reasons why people do things and the sort of empathy that you can take away from it is, I think, a lot more profound. Where in this, it's like, oh, none of this is real. It doesn't feel real from the start. So the lessons that we're taking from this are, it's like reading Aesop's fables. It's not like actually living in the world, you know? It's like, okay, well, a tortoise and a hare are never actually in a race together. And also, if they were in a race together, the hare would win. So it's like this thing doesn't really make sense. Yeah.
Well, it is like fables are notoriously ultra specific, like the turtle and the hare. Like, it's like a very, very, very specific message, very specific takeaway, and very you know, tunnel visioned world building. But this was so generalized around, oh, beauty, like that it was just, yeah, it loses the plot because it never bothers to like find itself. Like I think that's what irritated me more than anything, is it was just grinding in the same message throughout the film, but actually not having the courage or interest in zeroing in on a specific part of this thing. Like if they'd done a full menopausal horror that was allegorical instead of literal, then that might have been more compelling and interesting. But to make it such broad strokes, it just robs it of any weight, because it's just like, yeah, beauty standards are bad.
Yeah.
The end. And I also, yeah, I do not understand the need for so many crotch shots. Like, it's like, yes, I get it, but it's also like, well, I think if you circle around a point too much, you do end up repeating the same pattern you're criticizing. And I think that's, yeah, it'd be interesting if she sat with that a little bit more. But again, it's just part of the film. And then they both get ugly. And then it's just, ew, you know?
Right. Well, because I don't think anybody watching this movie is thinking, wow, yeah, it would suck to look like Margaret Qualley. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like you're watching and you're like, yeah, I wish. Like,
yeah,
give me the substance, you know, which is like not the takeaway they were supposed to be having here.
Yeah, yeah.
But, well, okay. Do you have anything else to discuss on this?
No, I mean, again, it's like, I don't think this is doing harm. You know, it's not like The Green Book, which I think was a terrible film that shouldn't have been made the way it was. Like, I'm glad that people like this movie, I guess. It's just not for me. Mm-hmm. And there's better movies out there. So that's,
yeah, fine. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, well, next week is our big week because we will be doing our yearly ranking. So yes. Shelby's going to have to try to watch some more movies on Mubi or Tubi or Peacock or whatever other streaming services there are. And we'll be back, next Thursday with our big old wrap-up before the Oscars. Thank you all for listening. Nobody take any weird substances based on phone calls you receive. And we'll see you guys next week. Bye.